listening to, like, we're covered, we're not.
And I thought that's the way the new roads policy was laid out, that an engineer reviews the road, and then the engineer puts out, you know, the contract for what needs to be done on the road by the, and it's all in the hands of the road association for that area, and the information's only, the only information the council, or what the involvement of the council is just to be part of understanding where things are at with the project, so that you know, everything's in place if they're, you know, when the time for assumption comes along, is that the conditions and requirements laid out by an engineer.
Well, that might well be, Mike, but I just need that clear in my mind.
Yeah, no, that's good.
That's what's happening.
And just, that's, I'm just trying to, you know, whatever was done in the past was done in the past, but, you know, I think that now that's, you know, the thing that needs to be clarified is that how the process works, is that...
The process that was followed for Bailey's and for Craigmore was that two letters were issued. I think both signed by Greg, but I'm not sure of that. But the first one was an estimate of what the work would entail and what the costs would be. It was sent to every owner on those roads. And there was then, it turned into what many people call a survey, where they picked their preferences. In other words, we should lay out the options. I have no issue with that at all. And say, here's option 1, 2, 3, or whatever we have, and let them make their selection. They mailed that back to the town. And then the work in those cases got done. Particularly Bailey's was very well defined that way, Craigmore less so. And then when the road work was completed, there was a second letter that was sent out that offered the financing options. And again, each landowner made their selection, returned it to the council, and then we used fees and charges to collect it. Because the issue that you would have, and we already have in many situations in the township, is that some people on the road will simply not want to do it, right? Whereas a fees and charges bylaw, technically, we can impose it even against the wishes of everybody on the road if that's what we chose to do. I'm not saying we should or we would, but that's there. Because otherwise, you know, if you're not going to cover the costs for it, then, you know, how can you move ahead? And you can't have people just opting out, and that's what happens with people getting their roads snowplowed and things. I have several friends and or acquaintances that I know in the area and have that problem constantly, saying, no, we don't want to pay for the road to be plowed, yet they use it, right, and all the rest of that. I don't think that there's anything wrong with doing that, following those same principles at the very least, and laying those things out, but... I don't have them with me. I do have copies of the letters that were used in Bailey's and less so in Craigmore, but in terms of what the contents of those things were. But I know that the administrative staff have them anyhow, and I can provide them. If not, I'm sure we have them for... I assume we have a folder for each of those roads groups, but I've never actually looked at it if we do. But
now, having said all that, we've already gone through that we're reversing the process, I thought. Okay. That process didn't work that well, especially with Craigmore. And so that, as you're suggesting here, we get the costs up front and not necessarily township. It should be an outside source, an engineer that the township shouldn't be on the hook for. It's something that they want improved, their particular roads. So anyway, that whole ballot thing again, I won't get into it right now at a budget meeting. Go ahead.
And I think that was, so two totally different things have been discussed here. One, where it's not in the township's hands, where it was previously, and the current roads bylaw that says that that is not in the township hands, where previously it was in the township hands. So it's taking away the responsibility of the work and process, how it's going to be charged, you know, that can be decided. But, you know, the main difference here is that the new roads bylaw, as far as I understood, was that the township wasn't going in and saying, you need to do this, you know, we'll come and do this amount of work. It was all external, and the only thing that was within the township's realm was the process of assumption and helping with administering the costs. through fees and charges or local improvement 586.
Right. Yeah, I guess I should have rephrased that question to Greg. Is does Deerfield have any budget implications for us this year? Hopefully you say no.
Shouldn't.
No.
Okay.
They're waiting on, I think they're waiting on council.
Yes, the only reason I brought it up in case there was something in the budget or anything, but it, we're not even paying attention to it, so okay, that's good. That's all I needed to know.
There is one that, if you know, if the township is purchasing a new vehicle and the township is plowing any of these, what were formerly known as Schedule A roads, there would be an indirect budget implication. Currently, the township is paying for them to be plowed through Lawson Contracting?
Yes.
So there is some type of a budget implication
for winter.
For winter.
Maintenance. For maintenance only, though. Winter, yeah.
So the question is, are those roads going to be plowed with the new truck this upcoming winter?
That was the plan. Yes. So, are they suitable enough to be plowed? Is that what your next question is?
That's sort of, how do we get to plowing the roads? Is there some things that need to be considered before that happens?
So 152 is, there is no, I don't think there's an issue for plowing that one. It's just a straightforward, fairly flat road. Deerfield, there are a few issues that will most likely have to be addressed before this upcoming winter. A couple of turnaround issues. But in most part, it's close to being, yeah, we could do it.
Now the 152 turnaround, I'm just thinking of 152B, I guess it is.
Yeah.
It's pretty tight up in there.
Well, it's,
is that all right?
Yeah, it's fair. It's not bad. Yeah.
Okay.
Like it's not any worse where we have to turn around over in Tate Island. Like some of them turnarounds are pretty tight too, but we can do it.
So, yeah. So it's 152A, the first.
Yeah, I, so left. When I say 152, yeah, that means all of that.
152A, B, but not C up in that tight area.
Yep,
there.
Bruce Trail, yes, all that, all the way around, but not 153.
Right, that's all private.
That's it. Yeah.
I thought it was pretty tight up in there at the Bruce Trail.
Well, it's a
for a big truck. This is a.
Is that just a smaller truck?
Well, it's a single axle.
Yeah.
But it's not the 550.
No.
It's not a 550. It's
no.
A large.
It's a four-wheel drive single axle. But I mean, we plow gray all. We stop. You know what I mean? None of our township turnarounds, except for in off of the camp road, are overly large. Yeah, for that to be an issue, it's a turnaround and it's usable. We can do it. Versus Moffat Road, there is no turnaround. You know,
On the one arm, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, even up the other end, I guess.
And the other way, it's tight.
Tight,
yeah. But we still do it.
Yeah.
And the big truck still goes in once in a while sanding. So we can do it. Yeah, is it nice to have a big turnaround? Of course it is, but we can do it. There are a few, there is some probably a little bit of work to do just getting permission for the municipality to be putting snow on one individual property in Deerfield, which is just a matter of them saying, yeah, that's it. Is it doable? Yeah. Except for winter.
Yeah, so I did have a question about reserves. And on the reserve sheet, version 2 revised, right at the top, first one, admin, working fund reserve.
Yeah.
In all other versions of budgets except for this one, that one was labeled mandatory. Have we received any clarification? I know previously it was a required reserve to have a certain amount of funds in it.
So last year you did raise that question, and I ended up asking the Ministry of Affairs, and they told me there's no requirement. It's up to the individual municipality to have a contingency reserve to cover any unexpected cost, but then it's not required.
Okay, so it's no longer mandatory?
No.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question on the reserves, but it's are we moving on from Greg or?
Probably not.
Okay, so
we'll be in the Belgium.
I'll wait.
Well, there might be other questions here, so.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anything else. I'm trying to think of you know what I mean? Like, you change these, you make these big changes like what we've done, and it's hard to make sure that all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted, but I think we've pretty well covered, you know, for our year. I think we're pretty well covered using this budget.
The grant for that bridge, right? That it says for the, not for that one, for the Minerva Park one?
Yeah, that's gone.
It's gone. So we can't use it on something else?
No.
Just tell them, well, that one in Inhomes is a very, it's a very big walking bridge.
That's right.
Just send them the bill, see what happens.
Claim that it floated there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was a red grant, I think, economic development.
Oh, okay.
I tried to get a covered bridge here a couple of years ago. I submitted, I got in on this deal in Nova Scotia for a grant. It was a competition to get a covered bridge put in. So I put everything in there, hey, this beautiful, nice covered bridge. Dear John Larkin, we didn't go. We didn't get the...
But it's not even the bridge. Like, you can afford the bridge. It's the abutments. Because the bridge,
house is no good without a foundation, right? You know what I mean? The house is no good without a good foundation. So that's what it boils down to.
The bridge was ordered before, ready to come, in the abutments.
And then you, considering that, you know, as you know, previously we had put in it for a funding opportunity for a wooden bridge. And so still, it's they'll pay for the bridge, but not the abutment. So even with this $100,000, I wonder if it would cover the abutments, you know, if we were successful with another, like the wood bridge grant opportunity, if that one's still available.
We don't have the money anyway.
I mean, I pay attention to both rules. Everybody pays attention to that stuff coming through. Carly does too. It's just, there's nothing coming. That was awesome, that one, you know, a couple of years ago when I thought we'd have a good shot at it. Real nice bridge, but it was just a pipe dream.
Yeah, now we're budgeting for the next door here, the Ball Diamond project, and we're putting in here a possibility of a grant coming in. What if the grant doesn't come in? How far are we going to get with doing anything over there then? Are we going to get the property leveled out?
We'll probably get close to being leveled this year. Yeah. I'm just going to plug away at that over the summer.
Right.
So with that $40,000 budget, ditching budget, a lot of that material is going here. So down on the bottom, and then we'll put a nice top. And we use the, and same with Center Road project, it would be going, most of that stuff would be going in there too.
Right.
Just to help out. Okay. Yeah, so it's going to be plugged away at. You never know. There might be something, you know, like the Ball Diamond. Well, let's do the Ball Diamond and then let's see if there's any grants. Bang, there's grants. You know, like, so same thing. This might fall through as a walking path. We'll put that in as a walking path. It technically is. You can walk on the driveway. So, you know,
I think
there is some. I am going to do some work this year just to please MTO, so they're off my back. I might put the entrance that first 50 feet
Well, I think you have to because just to help the market even.
Yeah. I mean, just get it in there.
This was a disaster up here.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering too. I put this out before. I didn't get too much feedback, but all the gravel that went on here, can that be moved in any way? Because people are complaining about that too. Was it necessary to do that? And I know.
Well, you can park a lot of cars over here.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, though, you can park a lot of cars in grass as well. So all that gravel that was put on there.
You couldn't walk down there when the dew was on?
Look, I've lived here for 60 years. Yes, we used to play in that field all the time. And I know what you're saying with if it gets really wet and the geese, et cetera. Yeah. But there was no need to put all that gravel on there. Maybe a skim or something to tighten it up. But I think that was a lot. That was over $20,000. And we're getting feedback now that was that really necessary? And I don't think it was, especially if this becomes our parking lot. Now, that wasn't done in time, I realized that. And so it had to be a quick measure to deal with it. But there are a lot of people out there, too, who'd like to see that return to a field.
Probably another year or so, it will be back to grass.
Well, I know, but you see.
Like, I don't know what you want over there. You want grass? You want parking?
Well, I'm for grass, but.
I don't disagree with you on that, but you can park a car in there. You couldn't hardly walk down there before.
Yeah.
Well, it was just from years and years of not being upkeeped and maybe leveled up, so the water ponds and it is wet.
I find that really interesting because that's the only place we ever played ball.
Yeah.
And I wasn't swimming playing ball. So.
Well, your feet certainly wouldn't be dry the last few years.
No. I disagree. Okay.
But I have.
Well, I'm not lying to you.
Oh, I know, but I disagree with you because I'm not lying to you either.
There'll probably be grass starting to grow there already this year.
In certain places it's coming through, but in other places it's so thick.
That's not fair because that when that all happened, the council, the market was going to be opening, and the council never made any move, and they left it all up to the works department to do something about it. And it was going to open, the market was opening within a couple of weeks or something, and they were told they couldn't park on the highway or nothing.
Yep.
And so he had to do something to try and help them down there.
Well, I'm just glad you didn't actually scrape all the topsoil off.
No, I didn't. So. For that reason, so the grass would grow back through.
Yeah.
And it will. It will.
I know it will, and it is starting to in certain places where it's humped up. Yeah. But I'm just saying, is there any excess material there?
Oh, there's probably some. There's only 4 inches put on that. So there wasn't like there's lots of gravel. It may look like there's a lot of gravel.
Yeah.
That's all there is.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to scrape very far and you're into the mud. You know. I don't disagree with you on the grass. It is nicer to see. But like Debbie says.
Oh, I know. You were in a bind.
We didn't have, can we scrape that all off? Probably, maybe once this is done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have to leave that for another year.
No, I agree. Get this done.
Yeah, that is, for sure. Why not?
Yeah.
But for now, until that's done.
You going to say something else?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm done.
No, I
said my piece.
Yeah, this whole getting it level, I think, is the key because I'm not sure about this ball field idea and the grant coming through, and there's so much up in the air there. But,
If it does, wonderful, I guess. Would you attack it then, get started on the job? If all of a sudden the Rojan says we got that grant money, it would be all gung-ho forward then this year?
September.
Okay. So we won't see much in the line of results then for parking or anything else in the summer?
No. Unless Rochon get now, there is a possibility.
And we put this up to her because the experience that grant is that normally they take 5 to 6 months or sometime a year to finalize the grant money. So that's why I say, let's go with the September and hopefully by August we can hear something and then we will do the project.
Yeah, the bang is put in. I don't know what the 150th thing is happening. I don't want to be messing around too much with what's going on here. I don't know. That's another reason maybe September is a better month. I don't know. It's terrible. Too bad it wasn't done 2 years ago. I know, but
I don't know what the 150th is doing with that field. I don't think anything.
No, nothing with that other piece of property, the other side of the rink. Yeah, nothing's planned for over there.
I like the idea of leveling and try to get parking sooner rather than later down there. of some sort. Yeah. Yeah.
But we spend the money before we get the grant, and that money won't be covered. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have really a budget for that right now, eh? Over there.
But that's why, you know, you don't get the money until later from the government, I realize, but that's why you have a reserve built up to even draw from certain areas and then wait for that money to come in. So.
Seeing here, it says Fire Route 152, barn owned of Township Survey Road. So basically the barn foundation, I've heard, I can't remember where, but some people were concerned about the barn foundation that's left there.
Yeah.
There is someone that is interested in that foundation. So if the township was going to do something there, there's someone that was interested in purchasing the foundation. So they wanted to...
The rock, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. That's good. Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping salvage will come through. And that's what I'm hoping. All that barn board can be reused. Rather than just throw the dome.
Another tender going in.
Yeah. Well, maybe you could, even now, because nobody's using it, advertise to somebody to come and clean that up.
Yep.
Take what they want. Could you do that?
Yeah, it's just a question of somebody to actually, a demolition permit. So
yeah,
it's a little different
than
somebody wanting to salvage, I think. So you have to be careful.
No, we're into a budget to get them to haul it away.
Something similar happened to that with the Public Works garage years ago. They were hoping to sell it, and then no one put any bids in, so then they had to pay to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But this is someone who has indicated they are interested in possibly purchasing those rocks.
Did they want... Mike, did they want all of it?
Yeah.
Oh,
so.
Yeah?
Ooh. Yeah.
Good.
So would the township have to make a safe passage for them to get to them?
Yeah, who knows what the logistics of something like that would be. And you'd have to have a discussion. And then, you know, it would have to be declared surplus and go through the proper process. And
So wouldn't it have to be basically advertised so if anybody wanted to?
Yeah.
So that if the individual does go and take them, somebody else doesn't say, well, I didn't know that they were for...
Yes. Yeah. So the public process, Everyone has a fair chance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a request for a proposal to clean that mess up then? Mm-hmm. Put it out there that way? Or?
Well, that's to say, you have to be careful because anybody who does that doesn't necessarily want to save anything. So it almost has to be a dual approach.
I'll get a hold of that guy that does the salvage games or whatever it is. He did the hospital in town.
Oh. Oh, the guy that's on TV. Mm-hmm.
What do you say barn board's worth? $10 a foot? Linear foot for barn board?
Probably.
Somewhere in there. That's what it's worth, so you get a salvage company like him come in. You know, he has his own insurance, so. Yeah. Get on TV, get your mug shot. And then that's the barn board, then the rock can be two separate entities. Do the rock and then on two different separate proposals. Get the wood cleaned up and then get the rock cleaned up.
Now, and I see you have put in the $75,000 for possibility of future survey and that for that property at 152, which would include road and...
So the roads are... Areas. So the new entrance is already surveyed off. Mm-hmm. And that... So the 152 survey, that $75,000, that's just to survey our road off moving forward. So the 152 would be a separate parcel, be turned over to the municipality. Yeah. Now, do we pay for it? Do they pay for it? We own all the property. So we pay for it.
Yeah.
And then we separate, then we have natural severances up there.
Yeah.
I'm just I'm wondering if we should try to get us an extra meeting in somehow to deal with that property.
Yeah, we'll have to,
Because I don't know how it's going to work. Probably nothing for us, like usual, but the federal government just brought out a budget, and they have in there, I think, $4 billion towards 100,000 new homes in Canada, which when you do the math, at least I think the math I did, that's $40,000 per home. I'm sure a lot of be getting eaten up, but does any of that have anything to do with possibly severing a bunch of properties, like any costs in severing properties or anything? Like, does any of that funding tie into that kind of, you create properties for new housing, so just something to keep in the back of our mind. But on that, yeah, I'm wondering if we should have an extra meeting and get a map of that property and see what potential. We need housing, and I think maybe that's a possibility of getting some lots there and revenue to cover the costs of other projects.
So we have it on record that you're doing the research on that grant to see how much money's out there. Roshan would like to hear that.
Rodin, can you do that?
No. So there's $78,000 in the budget for the surveying?
$75,000
So.
And Greg thought that was a little high, so, which is good.
No, but I'm just
Finally.
We have to survey that off regardless what we do, do we?
Well, like he says, it's all in the township name at this point, but yeah, I think it should be done.
So I don't know why we wouldn't just start that process. Is there some reason why we wouldn't start that process? Because surveying is, takes a long time. There's
there's a step one, step two sort of thing. I think what Greg is saying is that'd be step one, and then while they're doing it sort of thing, you can work on a step two and divide it into sections and whatever. But the surveyor would have a better idea of what you need. And
if they're there and doing the road, I think it'd
be
a deal to have them also. Like they're going to survey the perimeter and run some dividing lines on what we think we would be allowed to do. That's another question for staff is, do we have to do our own zoning bylaw amendments? Say if we do lots that aren't, say, the 2 acres or whatever. So I think we're going to, at that meeting, we'll have to give some direction to staff to see what we can do. And I think it's very important. We're in a little bit of financial bind needing that dredge. And $180,000 was spent on that property for that purpose, was to upgrade our dredge. So somehow or another, I think we should try to recoup that money and put it toward that project, and maybe even more. I don't know. Like you say, property, unfortunately, is probably dwindling downhill now and due to interest rates. But I think people are still paying pretty good chunks of money for vacant 2 acre lot. So I think it's well worth looking into.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I won't go back to previous decisions that were made, but that property purchased and then there was going to be a million plus new garage built. I don't know where that money was coming from, but along with the $180,000. So. Okay, anything else for Greg?
We got a street.
I don't know whether we've made many changes today.
No, but then the capital budget, right? The bathroom.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, I wouldn't figure that into it.
So.
Oh, I see. You mean to use it? What's there?
Yeah. So you want? I'll remove that one, and you want me to put it somewhere, or you want keep it there? So I just want the clear direction from the council.
Well, that's a good question, because we don't know whether it's going to be retendered or not, so I don't know.
Here's a suggestion. Put it for the ball field, so I can get the entrance off out of it. And if we don't get the grant, I can still plug away from both ends. It's up to you guys. But
well, I do like the idea of the entrance, sir. We need that.
Yeah, so like I can work on it. If I can get that entrance in off the highway, I can work.
Before MTO changes their mind.
The washroom's working out fine the way it is right now.
But then, sorry, to by 2025, we need
accessible.
Yeah, unless they change that date. Well, I'm just saying, everybody has to go electric by a certain date too, until they find out that not everybody's going to be able to do it.
Well, that's still 2 years, right?
Yeah.
I like Greg's ideas.
It'd be $500.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. And if for some mysterious reason that we find out we can get a bathroom done way cheaper, well, then we'll have to tap into community center reserves or something. But I think to keep that money working, I think that property.
Okay, we have to what's happening over here then, in the kitchen?
Yeah, we want information on that. Eh?
I think it has to be an RFP.
RFP put out, then we'll decide if we're going to accept it or we're just going to do this over something easy.
Yeah.
Or that needs to be done.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So is it okay if I put the $15,000 in building reserve for the...
for the drive entrance?
Yeah, entrance.
Sounds good. Not hearing any names.
For over here?
Into what? This building reserve?
No, the public works have $100,000.
Oh, okay.
And
we draw that out of there to do that driveway work?
Yeah.
Yeah, if that's where you think.
Now we're getting me off the highway, and then I can work at it from both ends, right? I can have Dozer and you're stripping that off, and I have the other guys coming in from off the highway. So.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, wherever you think, Roseanne, that's as long as we can do that.
Very good. Thank you.
That's it.
For now. Oh, you want more? Oh, yeah.
Councilor Zulak, you said you had some other that went beyond having Greg here. So.
just a question.
When this over, it was
open fine. Yep.
Okay, on the reserve sheet, version 2, where it says REDAC reserve, $13,000.
Yeah, I don't know why that's still hanging around.
Sorry, where is that, Debbie?
It's
6th from the bottom. REDAC reserve.
Okay, yeah, sorry, I'm looking at the line below.
It's been there,
okay,
so
yeah.
I'm not sure.
It's been sitting there for quite a few years.
So do we need that?
I think I told you already, if it's tied in with this, the Westbury Town Collaborative, we're paying $6,200 or something a year for that, and I know it's in the budget for that. But then the funding is running out at the end of this year, as we mentioned. So they're working on a plan this summer to see what each township is. They're looking at a new governance model and a new funding model. So that'll double or triple if we keep it going. So we have to decide. And I don't know if that's a spin-off from REDAC or what it is, but we have to decide if we want to put money beyond the $6,000 into future economic development through the regional. I don't want to use the word regional, that's what they're using.
Yeah.
Through James Cox. So we don't have to worry about this year's budget, but it'll have an impact on next year's. So the question is, do you want to keep that around if we decide to continue in the program? You'll need something unless you want to start from scratch.
But what is the program? That's my problem, is what is the program given to us? It's like, you might as well throw that money in the wind because we're not getting anything here in McKellar.
Well, you should come to a meeting because their argument is what's good for the area is good for.
I know, but I mean we're doing a lot of things that are good for the area, big bucks.
Yeah. No, council can decide whether to move.
So
that
I don't. I just was thinking, you know, it's $13,000 for a long time, and do we really use that service? Or will we use it in the future? Like Perry Sound, they have gone through a couple of economic development officers. They belong to it, but they still have their own. So why are we... That's a question.
Yeah. Well, I'm fine with leaving it there for another year to see what comes of the other committee.
Yeah, it makes it... I don't know what impact it would have. That's the trouble. If we take it on, but it's... somewhere else.
I know it's not a lot of money when we're looking at, but
what does it amount to? About a third of a percentage or something? Or
yeah.
What's a percent? 30-some thousand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's
closer to 40, maybe.
Yeah, 40.
Yeah, 39 at least. I know. Yeah, so. Can I ask about the item below the high speed internet telecommunications reserve? I see we put in $12,000 a year. What's the intention of that? Do you know?
It's for fiber optics line that's coming, and that's why we
and we have to pay for it, or we have to pay for a portion of it.
could be, yeah, that's yeah. maybe.
Initially, why I recall it was being put into this was we belonged to what was referred to as SmartFlow, and it was a municipal-led initiative to bring in high-speed internet. And there are some municipalities who, you know, who SmartGo has assisted with getting some high-speed internet. But I think now with some corporate competition going on in our area, it seems like now there's two, you know, Bell and Cogeco who are seem to be proposing to bring, and it seems like something's been signed on the dotted line, some funding provided for Cogeco, and so I don't know that it would be interesting to know what, you know, the townships, if the township would be expected to pay for a for-profit organization to bring high-speed internet to the municipality. I kind of understand when it was a municipal-led initiative through SmartCo, but a for-profit organization,
yeah.
I don't believe our taxpayers would be too keen on that.
Yeah, I don't know if Cardiff had any update. Did you get to a second meeting or not?
Yeah, we did have the meeting on March 27th, and the internet provider was fairly tight-lipped on the scope of the work, so the municipalities are going to sit down again in the future to have another meeting to speak without Infrastructure Ontario and the provider. So we're hoping to get more information soon. But it does seem that it is a provincial-led project, but the municipalities will have to... They're only responsible for communication of the project and permits, so road occupancy and any right-of-ways needed and locates.
Is this for the fiber optic?
No, so this is for the high-speed internet coming through from the province.
Okay.
So
when I looked at the math for that, in terms of the dollar spend that they were giving to Bell, if I'm right,
mm-hmm.
and the number of houses they were going to do, it was going to end up costing $5,746 per house.
Wow.
Just using the math in their statement, which is completely and absolutely absurd. You could put in 8 or 9 Starlinks per house at that rate. So tell me how that makes any sense. How that ever got approved or budgeted, I have no idea. Either that or the numbers they're quoting are just plain wrong.
And to be honest, the meeting wasn't super productive at Bell's end on the 27th, so the municipalities are pushing hard now to see what the actual scope of work is and
sure.
what the contributions to the municipality may be on the
sure.
floor.
But, I mean, anything that anybody tells you that kind of money, that's, you know, no person in their right mind would say that's a good use of money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe what we do is find out other municipalities what they're doing, because I think they'd also started up reserves, and if they've decided to not do that anymore, then there's some money freed up there.
Sure.
But I wouldn't want to jump on it until we get.
No, that wasn't my proposal. It was just
something,
yeah, to say, well, what is it or what are we saving for? But
yeah.
anyhow, but yeah, if we can take it into income and help with some of the other shortages, that would be real nice. So.
Yeah.
And one other question was on, just in terms of the West Perry Sound Recreation and Cultural Center. I still have trouble with that. That's a mouthful. I mean, I see even after paying the 561, we'll have $58,000 left over.
Okay.
I know there's an almost endless number of bills to be paid for the center, but, I mean, that isn't earmarked for anything in particular, right? That's just a reserve in general.
Yeah, that's a reserve in general, and we took the debenture. I took the debenture more than whatever they were asking. So I took for 775 instead of 733, realizing there is 7% of inflation, and in
okay.
case
okay.
they come back, so that's why I took more, and that's what we have in reserve. So even though they are saying that's the pretty much final number, but you never know.
And if I'm right, we were to pay the amount of money to the Municipal Services Board by today?
I think it's already paid.
It's already
paid.
This week already
okay.
paid. Yeah, last week paid.
And we invested that, and we're making even a net profit after paying for the debenture interest rate, right? Last year?
Yeah, yeah.
Not a huge amount. I'm not saying
not a huge amount, because that time interest rate started increases, and you know
But that reduction in income from that money that was invested is reflected in the budget already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was not invested in the sense, but then it was put in the general account and whatever interest earned that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's back on the first page of the budget, if I'm right.
Interest income.
Yeah.
So is it 58,000 reserve?
Yeah, 58,000.
Yeah, so right now you have 32,000 in the investment income general operating account for this fiscal year for 2023.
Right.
And that's after remitting the 586,000, give or take, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
What line item are you on?
I'm on page one, just down under others, the fourth line under others.
Okay.
I think it's page one. Yes, it is page one, yeah.
I've got the marketing.
And so that's just the normal operating account balances, and that's what we would earn on, which is pretty good. That's
right. And initially, you know, when we got the money, we discussed about it, and I was planning to put in the balance in the GIC, but I didn't know how much they were looking for and when they are looking, you know, the payment, so I didn't put it anywhere.
Okay.
And now, you know, thank God we didn't put it in GIC because, you know, all of a sudden they asked for the remaining balance.
Okay. Yeah, no, that was one of my thoughts, one of the first items on the thing. That's why I made a note of it, just to make sure that that was the current figure, not the previous figure, which obviously it is. So
while we're on that page at the bottom, you've got venture financing. That was a couple years ago, the 172. Was that the fire?
Yeah, that's fire. Yeah.
And that's still being paid as?
Yeah, 5 years.
Another 5 years or just?
No, that's when the venture is for 5 years, so every year we pay roughly around 34,000.
Okay.
For that.
So, since we're sort of in that category, page three, donation. So this is top of the page, the number 128 and 127. Donations, grants, and to organizations, and discretionary donations. I think we need to have a little bit of clarification. I did it sort of a preliminary dive into this to see where it had been allocated in the past, and the donations and grants to organizations, I believe in the past, were to MLCA and CB&DC, and last year, and I think the previous year, CB&DC, which normally would receive $500 a year, they, according to what was in the last council package in their presentation, they had not received any donation from McKellar.
CB&DC.
So the
they are.
So we just in the last council package we received their report.
That's the Community Business and Development Center.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's consistent with what this shows on the budget, that we have paid. There's no actual expenses in the last 2 years.
No actual expenses,
right?
Yeah.
So I think if we determine where and who this money is allocated for, and to ensure that those who it is allocated for do receive the funding that they're expecting from the municipality.
So basically, once we approve the whatever donation we would like to give, then I can put in the discretionary reserve donations, or unless you advise, council advise something else.
It's to determine, you know, where the donations and grants to organizations funding is expected to go to, and where the discretionary donations funding is expected to go to?
Because last 2 years, you know, 2021 and 2020, 2022, pretty much those are COVID years, and we didn't give anything to most of the organizations, so that's why you didn't see anything.
But we did give a substantial amount in 2020 to, I believe, Oh, there was three organizations that received X amount of dollars per month for 3 months.
That would be the $11,675 here in 2020.
No, I think that $11,000. Just like I said, I tried to do a search. It would be very helpful if there was notes on the side here and actually had the resolution numbers, which I've seen in previous budgets.
Okay.
There were notes indicating where the money was going to be allocated to, or if there was a resolution passed, it would have the resolution number.
Sure.
So it was easy to track where the money, what council had approved, and where money was going to. So I think we need a notes column on the right-hand side, just so that looking back, it's easy for anyone who's trying to determine where certain things which aren't self-explanatory, where that money went to.
Sure.
But I think that $11,675, I believe, went to the pool for the there was a study that was being done, and I believe that that's where that $11,675 went to.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. I did print.
Because we did give approximately that amount to the pool at some point.
Just like for a study, or
there was another study being done.
Yeah,
yeah. Prior to
okay.
Prior to even yeah, prior to the agreement being signed.
Yeah, that definitely would have been right.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So it's not a question of whether or not we need this figure in there this year. It's a question of where did it go previous years.
No, and if we need it this year, because for this budget we have $4,000 in the donations to grants and organizations, $5,000 to discretionary donations, and the $1,500 to scholarships, which has been ongoing, and we can.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that $11,675, out of that $2,000 went into this. WPS Smart Community, $2,500 went to the McKellar Agriculture Society.
How much to the Agricultural Society?
$2,500.
Mm-hmm.
And $975 went to the Perry Sound Area Chamber of Commerce, and then $500 went to the Perry Sound Area Community Business, and then $1,000 West Perry Sound District Museum, and $1,000 for PSHS Ways and Means, and then $800 Salvation Army, $800 to the Harvest Share, and $800 Rotary Club. So, you know, all those kind of.
So those were the three.
That would be useful to have that list.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be able to track it where it went. Yeah.
Track it and determine if we want to allocate any of money to these same organizations. And yeah, that was the $200 a month for $200 a month for 4 months to those Rotary, Harvest Share, and Salvation Army.
Hmm. Did they stop asking, or we just stopped giving? I mean,
and again, it's because of the COVID, we didn't give it to anybody last 2 years, so that's why you don't see much of the expenses. Only we have given to the last year. I don't know why I'm saying Bluebird, but then
Bluebird boxes.
Bird boxes, yeah.
Okay.
And so there have been some applications for the donations grant policy.
There's been two received.
Okay. So then, at some point, that would be part of the discussion to determine how much we're going to allocate into and which one of these two line items that that money is going to be allocated into.
I would suggest that you use the discretionary donation. You know, we have been using that line, so, and remaining depends on the, because it used to be 15,000, now it's 5,000, and then remaining can come out of from the donation grants to the organization.
Okay, so those have been submitted on time before April 1st?
Yes, I just received one today, so Rashawn hasn't seen it yet.
Okay, so I guess that'll be probably the 18th or something, or whenever we talk budget again, we'll get some figures. Okay. You also have on there, there's a back on page 2, I guess. Now maybe you can just explain it. It says this is 2022 election expenses. Is that still going on? Are we still have expenses this year? Or is there another election this year that we're not sure of? Or what?
I think it's basically the reserve to get so you don't get hit all in one year.
Oh, is that the idea?
Yeah, I think that was the idea. I think that's been going on for quite a while. I think Sean used to do that maybe. What line was it, Dave?
That was
just down near the bottom of 22, down somewhere here.
Oh, yeah.
There,
okay.
Right there. Yeah.
I don't know, because if it's not spent in that year, then it would have to be put into the general reserve at the end of the year.
I can do that.
So it's not an accumulating 5,000, and next year it just goes into the general reserve.
So, yeah, it should be designated to...
The surplus amount into a specific election expenses reserve account.
But we don't have any election reserve on the...
No, that's, and I think that was trying to clear, Morley had indicated that there was an election reserve account, and there, I don't ever recall there being one.
Okay.
So that if, you know, council wanted to be, to have, to take that 5,000 that seems to be allocated to the rear?
No.
So I can create one reserve just for the election, and then I can move the surplus into that account.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Do you know if the 14,496 is the final figure for the election for last year, for 2022?
As of now, yeah.
Okay.
These are non-audited.
Do we expect any more?
Sorry,
do we expect any more election expenses from the last election? I'll just call it that way, but...
I'm not quite sure. I know we just had the ballots destroyed. I don't know if there was a fee behind that or if the fee was included in what we paid previously, but...
It'd be incidental anyway. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Isn't there a position that was doing some election work?
Correct, yes. Yes, there was. Yeah.
Sorry, say that again.
The
our returning officer was contracted,
okay.
So she'll have invoices to submit.
For Kim.
Yep.
Okay.
So that 5,000.
If it's not used, then I will remove that.
Yeah.
Move that 5,000 into the new election reserve account.
Morphed into line by line here, so if there are any other lines that show up.
I was going to just ask about the, I'm going back to the, towards the capital budget again. We didn't talk much about the St. Stephen Church. I haven't put that cost in the capital budget because I'm not sure what will be the cost of the St. Stephen Church, so...
Has anything...
The RFP for the foundation closes on April 20th.
Okay. I thought there was a figure in there, though. Money coming in?
Oh. Money is coming in, but it's all, once we approve the, the RFP, and they would like to know the timeline before they start, and they would like to pay actual expenses rather than giving us... full of money.
Right. I just thought there was a figure in there.
No, it's not. There's not.
Where did I see that figure?
Actually, in the first report, I didn't mention that there was four or five projects which are not in put in the first draft because I didn't know the cost of that.
Yeah.
But, the St. Stephen's, Hemlock, and plus forensic auditing. That was in the first draft. I didn't put it. But the when I did the second one, I didn't put either. That's just for the St. Stephen because I'm not sure what will be the cost of it.
So,
just trying to. I thought I saw a figure. That's all. I'll have to find it.
So, once the funding announcement is made,
that's what we can't talk about. That's what I thought was in here somewhere. the bigger.
No, it's not in there.
Okay.
The majority of any grant opportunities would be 90% of that grant paid by the grant authority. We do have $74,750 in the cultural reserve.
Yeah.
And so that $74,750 should be ample to fill in the 10% if there was a funding opportunity for a project like that.
I just wonder, because cultural seems to include an awful lot of categories. You sure it's just for that?
Cultural
seems to extend under a lot of different topics here. Is that right? It's a pretty broad category.
Okay, let's see cultural.
It's a buzzword. It's easy to get behind, right? It's cultural.
Yeah, I think originally it came up for the two churches, kind of, for, for them.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's nothing in... This is on page 22.
Well, I see cultural services. I see Chamber of Commerce under that now. For expense.
Oh, yeah.
On page 22.
Yeah. There's no numbers in there, though, is there?
No.
Yeah. So
I'm just saying, if we're thinking of that.
So that's why we need clarification in the notes under donations to groups and discretionary donations. So that Chamber of Commerce would not appear under this category, because I believe that any of the money put into reserve was specifically for St. Stephen's and Hemlock throughout the years.
That's right. Yeah,
well, that's good to clarify that. Yeah.
But back to the reserves. If there's a funding opportunity like that. The $74,750 would cover the 10% of a funding opportunity plus the contingency required for a project like that. We don't have any numbers in there, but if there's any clarification on anything going forward, that there is no issue that there isn't money available in the reserve specifically allocated for a project like that, that covers 10% plus contingency as would have been required in any application.
Unless Hemlock goes way over.
Hemlock's not... Well, yeah. Hemlock...
I know Hemlock, there's a price set.
Right. And that... Yeah, so that one shouldn't go over. That's a binding contractual obligation on the... In that situation.
No.
Unless I'm thinking in the St. Stephen goes over. Because the way... seen today.
Right. Yeah, we got a good example here.
Yeah, the example here.
Yeah, so that's possibly, it might happen.
It's almost like when we take a bid from a company to do something, we almost wonder at some point if we should have a lawyer draft something up where we have something a little more binding where they're set on that price that they actually submitted.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because even when we did the community center here, and that was all done properly and that, yet they come back with add-ons.
Yeah.
And you were at the stage where what more could you do? You had to pay them. And I know quite often engineers will give you a rough idea before you go out to RFP what it might cost. They have not a rough idea of people they talk to. But even then, it leaves it. It's not a blank check, certainly, but it's usually in the contractor's hands, which is unfortunate. there can be penalties. The penalties were built in when this community center was built. If you don't meet by certain date, then you're deducted so much. And but it didn't seem to matter. So I think, you know, more watertight agreement would be good. But then